stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, IBM Data Quant. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer portion. In this teleconference, you'll learn more about IBM's newest addition to the QMF portfolio, Data Quant, and its advantages as well as enhancements to QMF businesses. The speaker for today's teleconference is Mr. Mike Bier, Marketing Manager, Business Intelligence, and Data Warehousing. At this time, I'd like to hand things over to Mike. Please go ahead.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining. We're going to discuss IBM's Data Quant for ZOS and multiple platforms today. My name is Mike Bier, B-I-E-R-E. If you can see the contact information on the first slide here, I'm the marketing manager for IBM's Data Quant. The user ID is a little faint. It's M-B-I-E-R-E. At us.ibm.com, and you have my telephone number. Going to take some time today to do a quick product overview of Data Quant, and at the end of the session, I'll turn it back to the operator, and we can do a Q&A. So let's get started and go to the next slide. Data Quant was developed by an IBM partner, Rocket Software, and if you are a customer familiar with QMF, we have a long, strong legacy of QMF, including a Windows version. We had QMF for Windows. We had QMF distributed. We had several tools that we brought out to complement the long-standing QMF mainframe environment. A couple of years ago, we decided that rather than, you know, keep buckling additional functions and additional products together, let's start over. So we developed Data Quant with Rocket, and Data Quant is literally a rewrite of the best of QMF and the best of QMF for Windows. We announced it in 2007, and it's going strong, but the factors, again, in its development were to modernize our customers' QMF environment and extend your investment in QMF. It's separate from DB2, and it's available as a one-time charge product, so this is a bit different than some of the QMF you may have known. And again, as I mentioned, it's a comprehensive package. It took the best of QMF and the workstation components and combined them into a single standalone BI tool. You can use it very heavily in conjunction with QMF, or again, you can use it as a standalone BI tool. We developed it in Java based upon the Eclipse platform, and again, starting from scratch, the idea was that if you are going to do a modern BI environment today, what sort of things do you need to do? You need to make them available in a SOA environment. You need to web-enable the product. You need to do query and reporting and dashboards and give you a very malleable development environment to put together a new modern BI world, and this is what we've decided to do with Data Quant. I'm going to go to the next slide. So here we have a summary of the capabilities, and again, it's an integrated infrastructure supporting a full spectrum of BI capabilities. We do table editing, ad hoc query, graphical reporting, interactive visual dashboards. For a deployment model, we deployed two different ways. And again, these both come in the box. You don't order separate products here. There's a workstation-rich client deployment and a browser-based thin client deployment. So you can do things like create very, very heavy, complex dashboards using the rich client and deploy it via the web, and users either of rich client or thin client architectures can utilize the objects we've created. It is zero coding, drag and drop. You have content authors that have extremely deep development interactive dashboard capabilities and graphical page-based reports. The lines of business, you can refine, define your own reports and dashboards. And again, you know, like any BI tool, it's as dangerous as you want to get with it, but it's a very, very seamless graphical interface. We've extended the data analysis substantially in Data Quant. We now support OLAP and relational data sources. So in other words, I could put Data Quant in front of DB2. I can put Data Quant in front of another relational database. I can put Data Quant in front of OLAP enabling technologies like Oracle Hyperion S-Base, Microsoft Analysis Services. We had some very rich built-in analytical capabilities in QMF before, but we decided, quite frankly, in today's world, it's not enough. So we've added an additional 100 built-in analytical functions in Data Quant. Let's go to the next chart. So again, there are two product additions, and let me clearly differentiate. There's the IBM Data Quant for ZOS is the version that you order. There's the product number. It's one-time charge IPLA licensing. There are try and buys available for both of these. If you want to access data on ZOS, you have to have the ZOS version. That gives you the access and authority to get to DB2 data on ZOS as well as the workstation, so I can scale it down. If I buy it for ZOS, I can deploy it throughout the enterprise. On the other hand, IBM Data Quant for multi-platforms, if you are just going after distributed, what we now call LUW or Linux, Unix, and Windows databases, and you don't have to access the mainframe, you order Data Quant for multi-platforms. So the ZOS version is like the big brother, and it gives you access to all data in the enterprise. And you select the edition appropriate to the platform of the database servers that will be accessed. So if I'm accessing DB2 on ZOS, I will order the ZOS version. Let's go to the next chart. And again, as I mentioned earlier, there are two product components. There's DataQuant for Workstation, which is Java-based. It's a rich client application based upon Eclipse. And it's a graphical environment for development of everything you want to do in DataQuant. The difference between DataQuant for Workstation and DataQuant for WebSphere would be, let's say I want to do some reasonable reporting. I want to do some drag-and-drop reporting with a bunch of graphical objects inside of it. I can do that in either version. But let's say I want to really, really, really dig down, define my own graphics, and create, you know, the dashboard of all dashboards. The toolkit to do that would be at least one deployment of DataQuant for Workstation. Once I have developed that dashboard and those objects, I can access it from any version of DataQuant, including WebSphere. Now, the DataQuant for WebSphere thin client version, again, this is a runtime environment. It displays all the content that's been created under an HTML thin client model. Anywhere you run IBM WebSphere, WAS, you can execute DataQuant for WebSphere. So on Windows, Linux, Solaris, HP, iSeries, Z-Series, ZOS, etc., any place where WebSphere runs, you can run DataQuant for WebSphere. So we really opened up the entire array of IBM servers to access DataQuant. Let's go to the next chart. So here you see there's a pictorial down there, and again, throughout the presentation from here on out, I'll have various and sundry pictures of the things you can do with DataQuant, and the most important thing is to really think outside the box. Dashboards are a very common means of displaying data in today's modern BI world, and typically you might put them in a portal. You might have portlets with one portlet accessing DB2, another accessing another database, etc. You can draw data from multiple heterogeneous data sources with DataQuant. It supports dynamic queries, and actually you can do a data write-back. So you can have a read-write application with DataQuant all from a dashboard. We have this extremely powerful palette to develop any sort of graphic that you wish to do. And a dashboard can be a collection of any number of objects. You can have reports within reports, reports within charts, charts within charts. There is no boundary to how deeply you can embed objects within DataQuant. You can put third-party web pages and other portals and web applications. Anything you wish to cobble together on the screen, you can do with DataQuant. And again, as I alluded to earlier, we support OLAP and relational data. Let's go to the next chart. And again, just to blow that up a little bit more, a more concrete example, I have two different graphics here with two different query results. Those query results can actually come from different databases. So perhaps the one on the bottom is being fed by DB2 for ZOS. The one on the top is being fed by Microsoft SQL Server. The product knows no boundaries and no edges as far as combining data and presenting business value on the screen. Let's go to the next chart. Reporting in DataQuant, it's not your uncle's QMF anymore. If you're a QMF customer and you're familiar with QMF and even with QMF for Windows, it's rather textual in nature. You could do very extensive control breaks and formatting and such, but, you know, today's modern BI world demands that we be able to do things like extremely graphical reports, produce them in HTML or produce them in PDF, and literally, you know, use a report as a palette. So we do things like we've added optional cover sheets and summary pages and report annexes. We can design reports that give you different intervals. We can do conditional reporting. We can deploy it via web or email. I can embed these reports within portals, custom websites, or web applications. And again, if you look at this report on here, some of that is textual in nature, some of it is graphical, and you can produce graphs within graphs, charts within charts, reports within reports. So I think reporting is almost a misnomer. It's an extremely graphical palette environment. We support, again, three different reporting technologies. We have the simplified tabular report designer, much like you had before in QMF. We have a graphical report designer, which knows no bounds. And we've added a rather clever piece here. If you're familiar with BERT, which is the Open Source Foundation report writer, we now allow you to consume and create reports and push it back and forth between BERT. As BERT emerges as part of the Open Source Foundation, rather than fight them, we decided let's embrace them. And let's add that to the palette within DataQuant. So again, we have really extended the capabilities here. Let's go to the next chart. So here we have some information about BERT reports. Again, we can design formats within DataQuant to give you, you know, native graphical and tabular report designers and push that out to BERT or import BERT reports developed outside, but utilize DataQuant's capabilities such as let's query DB2 for ZOS. If you're familiar with DataQuant at all or QMF, we allow you to control and manage the resources access, so I can take a BERT report and run it against DB2, and all of a sudden I hit the limitations that have been set up for me, and I can't go any further. So all of the richness we've added to the QMF world, we can now embrace with BERT reports, and we fully integrated them within the DataQuant application. Let's go to the next chart. For query development, we've added three different graphical query designs. The previous QMF for Windows environment had a SQL query, we had a prompted query, and we had a diagram view, and here we had many pictorials of each of those. We've extended DataQuant to the extent where there are three little tabs at the bottom, so let's say you want to start with a prompted query. You can do step-by-step query development, and you say, okay, I've gotten it as far as I want, and there are other things that I need to do here that I am incapable of doing. I just don't know SQL that well. One of my colleagues might want to extend the capabilities here. In the old days, you had to not be able to convert to SQL queries. If you developed a graphical query, you couldn't convert it back. Now we've opened this up. We say, we don't care where you came in, whether it's graphical, diagram, view, or SQL query, you can literally flop back and forth amongst those three different styles and continue on. We have a colorized editor with SQL development. We have the ability to do code assist. So if I started something out and I don't remember, you know, I've got this less than, equal than, or whatever sort of parameter, and I don't remember the syntax any longer, it's been a while, I can have DataQuant prompt me through developing the rest of that query and polishing it off. And again, if I have an OLAP source such as an S-Base or Microsoft Analysis Services or another engine that understands the MDX language, I can front-end the OLAP source with the prompted query from DataQuant. So, again, we have really, really, really enhanced this. And, again, both of these query styles are available in the workstation and the web-based environments. Let's go to the next chart. We have substantially enhanced the security and personalization of DataQuant. I can do application-level security with single sign-on, so we can optionally interface with your existing LDAP directory. If you don't have an LDAP-based directory, we can provide internal security models within DataQuant itself. We can log on optionally to data sources using accounts that are already created and mapped to an LDAP, so you don't have to redo your security. We have the ability to place permissions on object types, so you can control what people see and what they can access, not only from the data, but from the dashboard perspective. So maybe the dashboard that I see has similar context to what my manager sees, but she can actually see more than I do. And all of that is controlled within the DataQuant environment. It's a very rich interface, so I can personalize it. I can have it so that all I see is a dashboard. I have no idea what is behind the scenes in DataQuant. I don't have any of the tabs available to me. I don't have any of the creation capabilities. I'm just a user who wants to interface with a dashboard. Or let's say there are specific functions that you want some people to use and others not to use. You can tailor this by individual. You can tailor it by group. You can control, manage, switch, and change the environment based upon what the user does or does not want to do or what you do or do not want them to do with DataQuant. You can have an unlimited number of workspaces. So you can have, you know, again, your own personal portal. You could have group portals. You could have any number of portals that you wish based upon how you log in, what your authority levels are, and more. So there is just no boundary to what you can do with this particular product. Let's go to the next chart. For systems management and administration, if you look at the little tabs there, now this is something we've inherited from QMF. It's been in the product for a long time. Maybe I want to limit the SQL verbs, and I didn't show this here, but again, as you punch the different tabs, there are different things that users can or cannot do. Let's say that I have users that no matter what I tell them, they will try to do things like drop a table or delete something or insert. They have no business even trying that. So I can go in from the systems administration perspective and I can say to specify for this particular user or this group of users, these verbs are denied and they're literally boxes that I check or uncheck. For limits, I can set a limit on the number of rows fetched with the initial query. I can set a limit on the number of rows ultimately fetched. So let's say that I go to fetch 50,000 or let's say 500,000 rows. And my first warning limit is 10,000, so I fetch 10,000 rows, and I get a warning. It says, you know, you fetched X amount of rows. Do you wish to continue? It's good for the user, and it's good for the system, because it said the user might have thought, oh, gee, I didn't think I was going to get anywhere near that many. Maybe something's wrong, and they could cancel their query, or they say, okay, yeah, I want this to continue. I'm given the option to prompt and continue on. When they hit the ultimate limit, let's say they've gone from the 10,000 first returned to 500,000, no matter what they try to do, that's it. They'll get the 500,000 rows, and the query is canceled, and that's as far as they go. So you can set any wide or narrow and restricted range of boundaries within DataQuant, and this applies, again, for that user or for a group of users. Quite often in a BI world, we've decided that maybe from the hours of 8 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon, we want to restrict how many rows and how much interaction the users can have with the system. And in the mid or late afternoon, we really don't care because a lot of processing is done and we want to open the floor. So you can set a variety of limits so that, again, it's restricted in use from earlier hours when the rest of the system is busy, and as resources become available, they get more latitude. And all this is fully customizable in DataQuant. It's an administration function that when you buy DataQuant, everyone has this deployed, so out of the box, you can do everything. But again, in most environments, someone will say, we want a limited number of administrators. So we might have, you know, five or 10 people in the enterprise who really have access to the administration capabilities. And what we've done is we've tailored DataQuant is to turn off that tab so that other users don't even know that it exists. All they can do is live with the limitations that are given to me. Let's go to the next chart. From an SLA and web services perspective, again, if you look at the diagram here, we allow you to share and control and designate BI assets, you know, both internally and externally. I could create even a JRE embedded application using DataQuant. But I can access this either from rich client and thin client. I can control the resources from the administrative capabilities. I can fully firewall DataQuant. So again, when you look at where IBM is going in the SOA environment, there are a couple of things that people really wish to control and manage. When I think of a service-oriented architecture, I not only want to control the application service, but I also want to contain and manage and control the data service. So within DataQuant, I have full control from the interface the end user sees down to the access of data on the back end. Let's go to the next chart. As far as embeddability, again, I can actually create a standalone JRE with DataQuant, or I can just create a fully embeddable portlet, for lack of a better word. We have a full API with DataQuant that says the functions right out of the box, even though they may be many, they may be great, it still doesn't do everything I want it to do. So we've given you a set of Java APIs and web service APIs and a command library of APIs to literally write, create, and manage any application you wish. So in this particular case, we show an example of a dashboard embedded as well as existing web page content. DataQuant is ideal for an enterprise portal because you have full control and management over everything that you put inside the screen for the end users. Let's go to the next chart. Here's a diagram of its operational architecture. Again, you have the choice of rich client and thin client. In many cases, customers who wish to deploy both rich and thin client, you can actually deploy them both and manage them through WebSphere. So the rich client users can do a bit more from a functional capability. In other words, these are the people that really develop and create really heavy dashboard capabilities, or maybe they are really heavily using a Java piece of code and some API, whereas the web users just simply come in and use objects that exist, and you can access and deploy it in any way that you see on this particular pictorial. Although we show a limited number of databases, again, any database or any data source that has a JDBC access you can get to from DataQuant. It is certainly not limited to DB2, although this being an IBM presentation, obviously we're going to favor our own portfolio. But again, there is no limit to the data one can access on the back end with DataQuant. Let's go to the next slide. It's backward compatible with QMF. And again, you know, if you have an investment in QMF, you have queries and forms and procedures and a bunch of things that you have been using for years and years and years. And DataQuant, even though it's the new era, the new generation, obviously we have to keep it fully compatible with things that you've already created. So we retain full support of your QMF catalogs. I can create, run, edit, and share QMF objects with QMF for TSO and prior QMF distributed products. So I can interact DataQuant with QMF for Windows and QMF Visionary and its products that DataQuant has now replaced. I can optionally use resource limits defined in the QMF catalogs, or I can set up new resource limits in DataQuant. I can use either one, however I wish to do it. I have the ability to import QMF server definition files. Now, one thing we've done with DataQuant is we used to have a server definition file, which is where we stored the definitions of what users could do. And they were somewhat limited in their capability. We have really opened up the new way of defining resources and managing resources in DataQuant. There are new capabilities here. I don't want to go into them unless you're really a deep customer, and certainly not appropriate for this particular chat. But we have honored what you've had before, and at the same time we can extend elements inside of your new repository capabilities, but keep the server definition files you have in place. One of the nifty things I can do right now is, let's say I have a library of old, I shouldn't call them, but yeah, in a way they are, the older tabular-looking reports. They might be a little more dull. They don't have color. They don't have highlighting. They don't have icons. They don't have all the attractive things you see in modern report writers. Well, I can very easily take an older report and create a visual report and create a new graphical format and embellish it quite easily within DataQuant. It's a very powerful new reporting tool. Let's go to the next slide. One of the things that I hear a lot, and again, I work with both of these products, and so I wanted to make sure we address in this session. IBM spent a lot of money. We purchased Cognos, which is, you know, a long-standing, very elegant BI tool. We have decided in IBM that since DataQuant has an extremely high affinity with the QMF world and customers have a massive investment in QMF, and Cognos 8 BI, which is our new offering within IBM, does not talk to QMF, we are using both products in parallel. DataQuant is a standalone BI tool, as I said, but really IBM's stated strategic direction is Cognos 8 BI. But for customers with QMF and they want to, you know, secure, enhance, and grow the install base, DataQuant is really the way to go. You can interoperate DataQuant with Cognos 8 on the same portal at the same time. So it's not a mutually exclusive environment here. We have customers that are running both Cognos 8 within a portal and DataQuant itself. And again, the mission we have is to make sure that both environments, both products are protected, and they're going to grow and they're going to remain around for a long time. As far as interoperability down the road, there's a very good chance we may do more with Cognos 8 than DataQuant. But either way, both investments are protected. Let's go to the next slide. Here I want to show you some examples of DataQuant. And again, these are screenshots just to give you a feeling for the sort of things you can do with the product. The next chart showing visual dashboards. The graphics we ship with DataQuant, there's an extensive graphical library, you know, the typical pie charts and waterfall charts and all that sort of thing. But if you look at the dials down below, one of the things that I find extremely fascinating and unique with this product is I can create any visual that I want in a dashboard. I can include graphical objects and make them interactive and active inside of DataQuant. If there is a chart that you've had in-house or a chart that you've always wanted to build and couldn't find any product that can do it, DataQuant's graphical library allows you to create your own charts. So you can literally go off the ends of the earth creating objects inside of DataQuant. Let's go and take a look at the next visual dashboard here. Now, this is more of a traditional dashboard, but again, you have a pie chart on the left. I have a bar chart on the right with a line chart going through the middle. I have a tabular report at the bottom. I can indeed wire them together. Perhaps these all come from the same database and just show a different visual. Let's say when I hit one of the pieces of the pie, I'd like to drill down and change the tabular report and change the bar chart. We can do that. So if there's commonality, and let's say these are different databases, if there is commonality between maybe DB2 on the left and Informix on the right, if we can tie a thread together, we can drive it from within DataQuant. So the limitation you find with this product, you're really limited to your imagination and your technical capabilities, because functionally, there's very little that you cannot do with DataQuant. Let's take a look at another example. Next chart. Now, here we have visual reports. Now, this is showing you part of the report writer. On the left-hand side are the data schemas, the data sources that you have. On the right-hand side, far right, there are attributes of maybe one of the columns, and in the middle is the report creation palette. And again, it's just a palette. I can drag and drop and play around and do and undo and back off and just fiddle with a thing. And when I finally get it right, then I can write it, run it, and publish it for others to use. Or I can just put this in a private library for my own personal consumption. So we've extended this with a very rich palette to allow you to create any report or the reports you always wanted to create but could not do so in QMF. Let's go to the next chart. Another thing on the data quant for visual dashboards, here we show you with a map of the United States, and obviously the colors mean something. So you can do things like you can assign or even spatial data with data quant. I can access spatial data and color code it within a range and put little bubbles and icons and even show pictures of people in the middle of this thing. So as the Canadians would say, Bob's your uncle. Whatever you wish to do, you can do it within the data quant environment. Let's go to the next chart. And I'm getting carried away here with dashboards. But again, I want to build in your mind's eye that there is no limitation. Here in the lower left-hand corner, this is probably part of a web page, coupled with pictorials from any number of data sources. So again, if you want to deliver an enterprise dashboard, DataQuant is one of the ways to go from IBM. Let's go to the next chart. And again, just another pictorial. The interesting little chart down below, the bar chart with the pies in the middle. Again, this is a chart that I saw a gentleman create on the fly, and it was a chart that did not exist before. And because each object is separately definable, each of those pies was defined as an object. So all I had to do is say, place object A inside of object B, execute the chart, and bingo, you have a chart that did not exist before. So again, you can just open the world to a graphical interface with DataQuant. Let's go to the next chart. And finally, we have another dashboard. Now, again, this particular graphic, these accelerator diagrams, if you will, did not exist. Now, when you get DataQuant, there's a sample library that shows a whole bunch of examples like this. Now, where you might use a chart like this would be one of the bars there, one of the arrows is perhaps a, this is what's real, and I want to do some goal seeking. So maybe what I want to do is drag a bar or grab one of the arrows and drag it over to see, okay, if the two arrows line up, what number do I need to hit? I've seen this used extensively where there might be a tabular report on the right-hand side and someone's grabbing the bar, dragging it back and forth. So I can do goal seeking within DataQuant with a graphic that did not exist before. Let's go to the next chart. Now, here's query development. Again, now what you see here, this is a query diagram view, and I have joined three tables. So on the left-hand side are the tables I can access. As I drag the tables over to the right, if there's a column that we see in common, I can highlight that column and tie it to the next so I can do joins. It will try to join the most common column that it sees, or you can force the join on your own. In the middle, where the little check marks are, these are the columns I wish to see in my query. So I may not wish to see a particular column. I can uncheck the box and execute the query. And again, I can jump back and forth between an SQL query and a graphical query and a diagram view. Let's go to the next chart. We can do the normal grouping, aggregation, and highlighting functions inside of DataQuant. You know, if something is below a certain number, do red. If it's above, green, etc. All of the rich BI capabilities are available to you. Each object on the screen is individually addressable with its attributes and such. So I can go in and get very, very, very specific about how I want to treat a particular value or a column or an object on the screen within the report writer. Let's go to the next chart. In report development mode, again, now here's sort of a skeleton of a report. And again, it's a drag-and-drop, WYSIWYG type approach to life. So I just play with the thing. It has a lot of do and undo type of capability. So I can put together part of a report and hit the run button and say, let me see what I got. Oh, that's not quite it. Back off, go back and do it again. I don't like where I put that, drag and drop it to another area of the report. So again, I would like you to think in terms of report development as more of a palette and less of a structured interface. And again, I can have reports within reports. So maybe down below this box I'm showing here, I might want to open up yet another window and say, okay, within this report, I want to put another report or maybe a chart, and I want to make it conditional that says, if any object above it turns red, show this chart. If an object does not turn red, do not show the chart. So this is where we've gone with DataQuant. Let's go to the next chart. Dashboard authoring. Here you see a little bit of the dashboard. Now, the part in the middle with the gray, and I know it's a little hard to see here, there is a function library that when you get into the graphical authoring mode and the dashboard authoring mode, this little slider bar comes out, and you see a number of options. And again, there are many, many, many options side of the dashboard authoring, though, within DataQuant. In the middle, you see this sort of grid, and on the grid, that's where you can get down to the pixel level and say, exactly here, this is where I want this chart to begin. Right here, within this boundary and this boundary, this is where I want to see this web page appear. Oh, I want to put a chart here that says, okay, if this value drops below a certain thing, not only do I want it to show web, but I now want to display a web page that shows you maybe some external information here. And again, the dashboard that you author is the dashboard of your dreams, and you're only limited by your imagination. Let's go to the next chart. So here's a summary, and I realize this was a rather quick spin through DataQuant, but again, it's just to give you a taste and hopefully pique your interest as to where we've gone with this. We primarily created DataQuant to modernize your QMF environment, although it can be a marvelous standalone BI tool. It's a one-time charge server-based product. So if you buy, let's say, I won't even pick a server number. Let's say you opt for a server XYZ, and you want to support 50,000 users. We do not charge you any more for 50,000 users than we would 5 based upon that server. It's an extremely efficient product, and because it's server-based, again, you can license it based upon the server and the data that you're going after, and you can deploy it to any number of users based upon that particular model. You can deploy it to both thin and rich client users, all within an integrated package. You don't get 65,000 different little options here. You get all of DataQuant in the box. Again, it is not intended to conflict with Cognosate or vice versa. Its strongest suit is addressing the needs of the QMF customer, although some customers, if they've chosen not to opt for Cognosate, they could actually use DataQuant. If they change their mind later, there's no reason why we cannot interoperate the two. So we have a very open approach to our latest suite of BI products. It's a comprehensive package. It takes the very best of QMF and the workstation components, and it's a new era for IBM with QMF. And again, we can operate standalone, but the ideal environment really is in conjunction with QMF because a lot of the terminology and functions are very, very, very familiar with our QMF customers. And with that, I'd like to thank you for attending, and I'm going to turn it back over to the operator and see if we have any questions that I can answer on this call. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you, Mike. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll take your questions. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's program. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3, are you currently using QMF? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And our final question today, we hope you'd enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes today's survey. At this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please signal us by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Once again, for questions, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment. And once again, that is star 1 for questions. And Mr. Beer, there appear to be no questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back to you for closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much. And again, folks, I appreciate you attending. You have my email address and phone number. For those of you who are requesting information, you go back to your desk and think, oh, gosh, I should have asked this. Please do me a favor, send it via email because I'm going to be traveling for the next month, and I don't want you to sit there languishing waiting for this idiot to pick up his phone. So, again, it's mbiere@us.ibm.com. Wish you well. Have a wonderful day, and enjoy the rest of the year and the holidays, and thanks again for attending. We appreciate it very much.
That concludes today's conference call. Have a pleasant day.